the days of King Richard, who was called the Lion-Hearted, life was good in England. Richard was a good king, a gentle king who loved his people as they loved him. And I had a love of my own. The fair Marian, daughter of the Earl of Fitzwalter. How often we would walk together, hand in hand, along the path beneath the sheltering branches of the trees in Sherwood Forest, which lay close to my father's castle. While good King Richard ruled, it was truly a time of peace, contentment, and happiness. But far, far away to the east, in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land, the ambitious Saladin, a powerful Muslim warrior, marched through Palestine, seized the city of the Holy Sepulchre, and denied entrance to all who called themselves Christian. In England, a crusade was formed, with King Richard as its leader to meet the forces of Saladin. In the castle of Huntingdon, I was still too young to take up the sword, and my father too old. But our prayers went with Richard, who vowed he would return to England and to his people when Saladin had been brought to his knees. In the king's absence, his brother, Prince John Lachlan, ruled England. But Prince John, unlike his brother, was a man of treachery and greed. When he took the throne, he levied higher taxes on the country folk, the farmers and the shopkeepers, and the monies which they were forced to pay went into Prince John's strongbox and into the coffers of the nobleman who had won Prince John's favor by secretly planning to turn the people against Richard and make John King of England. But there were many among the nobles who refused to follow Prince John, my father among them. When the farmers and the shopkeepers could no longer pay the high taxes or refused to do so, and were beaten or thrown into the dungeons, my father prayed for the early return of Richard and an end to Prince John's treachery and cruelty. Then, one night, as the castle of Huntingdon lay dark and still, we were suddenly roused from sleep by a pounding at the door.
Open! Open for the Sheriff of Nottingham! Open in the name of Prince John!
Peering through the window of my room, I could see a group of men dressed in forest green, outlined in the moonlight. Before them stood the Sheriff of Nottingham. It was he who went about the countryside with his men to demand payment of taxes for Prince John. And it was he who pounded on our door.
Open this door, or we shall break it down!
As I watched, my father went down, drew back the bolt, and opened the door. I strained to listen, and heard the sheriff demand that my father pay the taxes for the farmers who lived and worked on our land. My father refused and accused the sheriff and Prince John of dealing treacherously with the people during King Richard's absence. He ordered the sheriff and his men off our land, and as he turned his back, I watched in horror as one of the sheriff's men drew his sword and ran my father through. My father, without a sound, sank slowly to the ground as the sheriff turned to his men.
Set a torch to the castle! The land we shall take in the name of Prince John!
As the sheriff and his men rushed in, I ran to my mother's room and, with the help of the servants, managed to get her through the servants' quarters and into a carriage before the sheriff's men could discover us. I directed the stable boy to drive like the wind for the home of cousins who lived far to the north where my mother would be safe. I promised I would join her when I could. Then I jumped on my horse, sped down the road which led to Sherwood Forest, where I could hide in safety. As I galloped along the way I knew so well, I thought of Marian, and my heart was heavy. I knew I must remain hidden from Prince John and the Sheriff of Nottingham, and I could not say when I would ever see Marian again. When at last I entered the protecting shadows of Sherwood Forest, I threw myself upon the ground and wept for all that I had lost that night. Then I fell into a deep sleep and didn't wake until I felt the early morning rays of the sun on my face. I washed in a nearby stream. Then I looked about me. I could not return home. I could not even show myself beyond Sherwood Forest, lest I be recognized by one of the sheriff's men. So be it, I thought to myself. Since Prince John has made me an outlaw, I shall be an outlaw. I shall live here in Sherwood Forest, and by one means or another, I shall take back from Prince John and his treacherous followers all that they have taken from the poor. And I shall remain in Sherwood Forest until I have avenged the death of my father. In defiance of Prince John and the Sheriff of Nottingham, I too shall dress myself in forest green, and I shall call myself Robin Hood. So I began my life as an outlaw in Sherwood Forest. A bow and arrows, and what tools I needed, were brought to me from Nottingham Town by a trusted friend, to whom I also entrusted the delivery of a note to my beloved Marion, in which I said farewell, and released her of her betrothal vows. I could not ask her to become the wife of a hunted outlaw. So passed the days and months in Sherwood Forest. Then others who had also turned against Prince John joined me in my wooded sanctuary. Soon the names of Robin Hood and his merry men were known throughout the countryside. Oh, and men of wealth, riding homeward as dusk approached, would urge their horses into a furious gallop, lest they be waylaid by the outlaws of Sherwood Forest and robbed of their money. Few there were who ventured past Sherwood Forest, and fewer still who dared to enter it. It was not many months after my self-chosen exile that I came face to face with one such brave soul. I had been out hunting deer and was returning to our camp along the footpath leading toward the stream. As I approached the fallen tree trunk, which served as a bridge across the stream, I was startled to see a stranger emerge from the underbrush on the other side of the stream and approach the bridge. He was tall, raw-boned, and a forbidding black beard masked his chin. In one hand, he carried a staff, similar to mine, but somewhat longer. We stood at opposite ends of the log bridge and stared silently at each other. The stranger was the first to speak.
Stand aside, that I may cross!
It is you who will stand aside. This bridge was of my own making, and you may not cross until my permission is given.
Ha-ha! So it is your permission I must beg. And must I also ask permission to hunt in Sherwood Forest?
You cannot hunt in the forest until you have crossed the bridge. And you shall not cross until I have first passed over it.
And I say I shall be the first to cross.
Then we shall stand thus until the coming of night.
Perhaps there's another way to settle this argument.
Which way is that?
Let's meet on the bridge and do battle with our staffs until one of us shall be knocked into the stream. Agreed?
Agreed! Now, stranger, defend yourself. Oh, you defend yourself well, stranger.
And you, my friend.
Now, will you yield?
Not a step.
Then take this!
Close to the mark, but not close enough. Now for you, this! And now, my lord of the fishes, do I have your permission to pass?
Permission is granted. If you will first give me your hand. Oh, a fair fight, stranger. You're handy with a cudgel.
And you, my friend, how are you called?
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood? A most familiar name. It has been my wish to meet the outlaw who is both the most feared and most loved in all England.
You speak words of flattery.
But true. Would you have use for a strong right hand?
Does it speak for or against Prince John?
Can you ask when he has caused my house to be burned to the ground?
Then you shall be one of us. How shall we call you?
I was christened John Little.
An honest name. But because of your tallness, I prefer rather to call you Little John.
Then Little John it shall be.
So it was that Little John joined the merry men, and others also. Will Scarlet, Alan Adale, and fat and jolly Friar Tuck. Then one day, a slight youth with short cropped hair was discovered by Little John hiding in the underbrush close by the camp, while the others hunted in the forest. Holding the lad under his arm like a newly caught lamb, Little John brought him to me.
Put me down! Put me down, I say!
You heard the lad, Little John. Put him down.
Then down it shall be.
Oh.
All right, stand up, lad. Now then, what are you doing in Sherwood Forest?
My horse became frightened and threw me. Then he bolted and ran into the forest. I came to find him.
That is your only reason?
Yes.
Then there is nothing to fear, lad. So hold up your head like a man. Come, come, come. Why do you stare at the ground? Hold up your head.
No.
Or shall I hold it up for you?
Please, sir, please.
Marion.
A girl!
What are you doing here? And dressed like that?
Oh, Robert. When I received your message, I tried to do as you asked. But I knew I could not forget you. I knew I would have to find you. But each time I set out for Sherwood Forest, I was followed by men of the Sheriff of Nottingham, who I am sure hoped I would lead them to you. But dressed as I am, with my hair cropped short, they saw me only as a stable boy, and I was able to pass them unnoticed. Now I am here with you, Robert, and here I shall stay until you leave Sherwood Forest.
Marion, I cannot...
I shall stay. I will cook for you and all the others. I will mend what has been torn, and see that you all will mind your manners when you sit down to dine.
Well, I cannot argue with you, Marion. How say you, Little John? Does she stay?
As a majority of one, I say she stays.
The days that followed were happy days. Often we would stop the carriages of satin-coated lords on their way to the court of Prince John, and when we had relieved them of their money and valuables, they were permitted to continue on their journey. Then, under protection of the night, we would ride through the countryside, leaving bags of gold on the doorsteps of those who had forfeited their savings to Prince John. Several times we were seen by the sheriff's men and pursued by them, but we managed to outshoot them with our bows and arrows and to outride them. My merry band of outlaws were truly the finest archers and horsemen in all of England. Then came a chance to do that for which I had waited many months, to repay the sheriff for all he had done to me and my family. One fine spring day, I happened upon a young butcher on his way to the market to sell his beef and mutton. A plan formed in my mind, and it took no more than 6 marks to buy his load and his apron. Completing my disguise, I climbed to the wagon seat and set out for the market in Nottingham town. When I reached the marketplace, I added my voice to the vendors, all the while hoping to find the sheriff in the crowd. Then I saw him coming out of a tavern. I approached him and bargained with him over my fresh meat, offering him the whole lot for a mere tuppence. The sheriff was a shrewd and greedy man and asked if I had more meat elsewhere. This was exactly what I hoped he would do. In my disguised voice, I said, "Aye, my lord. 500 and more horned beasts have I, and my brothers, and land. I know not how many acres we have. Beasts we cannot sell, and land we cannot plant. Would that we were free of them and the worry they give us."
What would you ask for your beasts and land?
Well, sir, I've been told they're worth at least the sum of 500 pounds.
Oh, I'd like to help you be rid of these beasts you cannot sell and land you cannot plant. But 500 pounds? I offer you 300 pounds. All in good hard silver and gold. See here?
Methinks the Lord Sheriff knows well the value of the beasts and land is more than 500 pounds. But, I will take your 300 pounds, for my brothers and I would be rid of this millstone about our necks.
Then it is agreed.
It is agreed. I will take you where my brothers are, and you shall see for yourself what a bargain you have made.
Took the road toward Sherwood Forest. I noticed the smile on the sheriff's face. Oh, how proud he was of himself and the advantage he had taken of the poor, stupid butcher. We did not speak until we came to the edge of the forest. Then I stepped down from the wagon,
My brothers wait for me just beyond that clump of trees, sire. If you will give me the £300, I will call them.
First, I would see what I have purchased with my £300.
You do not trust me, sire? If it is your thought that I lie, then you are free to dissolve our bargain and return to Nottingham Town.
You have my trust, Butcher. You have my trust. Here, there is your £300. Now show me what my money has purchased.
Aye, Lord Sheriff. You shall see immediately.
What blow you that horn, Butcher?
I only summon my brothers, sire.
Before the sounds of my horn had died, we were surrounded by Little John, Allan A'Dell, and the others. The sheriff's eyes widened in amazement and his face paled.
What? You are Robin Hood and his outlaws!
Aye, Lord Sheriff. These are my brothers. And this is the land we cannot plant. And the deer you see beyond the trees are the horned beasts we cannot sell. I have told you the truth, and you have paid £300 to hear it. And now, my Lord Sheriff, I suggest you turn back to Nottingham Town, unless you wish to join us in Sherwood Forest.
You shall all hang for this, every one of you. I myself will spring the trap.
Farewell, Sheriff. You drive a hard bargain.
£300 was a small sum to pay for the death of my father and the loss of our land. But I was satisfied. And so the years passed in Sherwood Forest. 3 years, four, five. Marion and I often rode through Sherwood Forest as we had in years past, when there was happiness and contentment in the land.
Robin?
Yes?
You are strangely silent. What troubles you?
It was nothing. I was thinking back to the time before Robert Huntingdon became Robin Hood, when you and I rode as we do now and spoke of marriage.
That day will come again.
Not so long as Prince John rules the land and we must remain here in Sherwood Forest. We're outlaws with a price on our heads, and we shall remain outlaws until...
Robin! Look!
We stopped short as a figure on horseback stepped out from behind the trees and blocked our way. It was a man dressed in a monk's habit, with the hood pulled down over his head. When he made no attempt to move, I motioned to him. Stand aside and let us pass. Still he sat motionless. Will you not speak? Who are you? And why come you to Sherwood Forest?
I am a stranger from the land to the north. In Nottingham Town, I heard stories of the outlaw Robin Hood, who slays and steals without mercy.
That's a lie. Robin Hood seeks only to return to the poor that which was unlawfully taken from them.
You speak angrily in his defense, fair maid. You know this Robin Hood well?
I know him well.
Then you can tell me, does he in truth live here in Sherwood Forest?
He does indeed, and so do I. And we have sworn to do so until King Richard returns from the Crusades.
And is this Robin Hood loyal to Richard?
Why ask you these questions, stranger? Perhaps you have come to spy for Prince John.
I come only to seek information, and perhaps to talk with the Robin Hood of whom I have heard the people speak.
Then your quest is at an end. I am Robin Hood. And now once more I say, stand aside and let us pass.
And if I continue to refuse?
Then perhaps I shall cause you to change your mind. As I spoke, I grasped the stranger by the sleeve and pulled him from his horse. He fell to the ground, and in a moment I was upon him.
You fight well, my friend. The stories of your strength do not exaggerate.
You also fight well.
This was no weakling with whom I fought, and I was hard put to keep my balance. Suddenly, as the stranger fell to the ground, the hood fell back from his head, and I heard Marion gasp.
Robin! It's the king!
Your Majesty!
Your Majesty!
In stunned confusion, I fell to my knees and begged the king's forgiveness. He bade me rise and explained why he had come to Sherwood Forest. On his return from the Holy Land, after the defeat of Saladin, he had heard rumors of discontent among his people, and Prince John had assured him that any discontent there was had been caused by the looting and killing of the outlaw Robin Hood. Having determined to see for himself what sort of man this outlaw was, he donned a monk's habit and came to Sherwood Forest. When he asked my Christian name, I said that I was Robert, son of the Earl of Huntingdon,
and that the woman by my side was the maid Marian, daughter of the Earl of Fitzwalter. I told him all that had happened during his absence and of the treachery of Prince John. When the king had heard my story, we returned to our camp. As my men bowed before our noble King Richard the Lionhearted, he spoke to them.
I grant a free pardon to all of you who have fought tyranny from your home in Sherwood Forest, and promise that all that has been taken from you shall be returned.
Long live King Richard!
So it was that I left Sherwood Forest to become the Earl of Huntingdon, and Marian to become Lady Huntingdon. Prince John was banished, and the sheriff removed from office. Once again, happiness and contentment filled the land. But it was the end of the adventures of Robin Hood and his band of merry men.